traditions in the great outdoors.
Welcome to Ozark Traditions TV podcast, a place where outdoor topics are discussed. Now sit back as today's host brings you the outdoors inside.
Ozark Traditions in the great outdoors.
All right, guys, welcome back. We have got on the phone Ryan Melton with Ozark Mountain Shed Dogs. Ryan, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. How about you guys?
Nah, we're chugging along. We ain't got nothing to hunt really right now, so we just trying to live day by day, find something to do.
Thinking about maybe hunting some deer horns.
That's what we're thinking.
There you go.
So, kind of tell us a little bit about yourself and what you got going on there.
Well, about 2 years ago, I lived down in Bradleyville area in the southern part of Missouri. About 2 years ago, I kind of scrolling through Facebook and I seen where people were shed hunting with dogs, and I like shed hunt. You know, this time of year, there's really not much to do. I kind of just got interested in it, started following some people, and basically it turned into, got to looking into UKC. They do competitions with it. You know, you can, just like you can title your duck hunting dogs and hunt retrieve, you can do the same thing with shed dogs.
So, what kind of dog do you, I'm assuming you probably use a Labrador for your shed hunting. Is that what kind of dog you have?
Yeah, I do. I've got two of them, actually. I've got a 2-year-old female. She just turned two. And then I got a 11-month-old male that he's one of them once in a lifetime dogs is what he's going to end up being.
Yeah.
That's Sexy Rexy is what he calls him.
That is.
I got one of them too. I've got a Labrador, but I duck hunt. You know, I'm a big waterfowl hunter, which I was going to ask you. He's 4 years old now. I mean, I guess, can you train these dogs to do this at any age, or is it kind of a, you want to get them young and get them doing it, or?
Everybody tell you different. It's just a preference. If you start with them young, it's going to be easier. But
yeah,
if they're retrieving the hand, you can train them to find the deer horn. No problem.
Right. I mean, he's been retrieving ducks for me for 3 years. Well, 4 years now. No problems. It's not something like you're big time into it. You know, me, I just would do it as a fun or try to find some deer horns. So I just, if he could go out there and find me a couple horns, I'd be happy. You know, it ain't like I need him to.
Yeah. You're not looking to get into competition.
Right. He wouldn't be able to compete with your dogs, but it's just, it seems like the lab is the primary dog.
Yeah, breed of choice.
The breed of choice for the shed hunting deals. I mean, I know there's guys that do it with other dogs, but it seems like labs are kind of the main.
Well, you don't think Georgie could do it?
If you tied a hot dog to one of them.
Okay, now we're talking.
He might stand a chance.
I've got an English bulldog. I just don't know if he's got it in him, but
he don't have the stamina.
He had to put a tank on him for some air.
Yeah, right. So Ryan, tell us a little bit about like the competition side of this deal. I mean, I'm interested in hearing like how that all works and how it goes down.
So UKC, they've got what they call the UKC Elite Shed Dog Series. It runs from April to March, basically. Got four quarters. So you got three divisions if you count the youth. You got a working class and a champion class. You've got a course. Of course, the size of a football field, 50 yards wide, 100 yards long. It can be in the woods, can be in a field. It doesn't matter. It can be half and half, just however they have it set up when you go to different competitions. You break that course down into six quadrants in your head. It's not the only thing that's marked is the boundaries. You break that down into six quadrants. You've got five antlers, and one of them quadrants doesn't have an antler in it. And you draw a card at the beginning of the day. You run one time. That's what you do. You draw a card. That card's going to be your blank. And the only person knows it is the judge. In the working class, you got to find four of your five. You got 15 minutes. You have to retrieve them back to the handler. The handler walks with the dog. You go to champion class, and you got to find all five of them, and they're hid harder compared to the working class. And you have to retrieve them by hand, retrieve them two hand. Also, they make a scent that we put on them. It's called a bone clone.
That's pretty neat. I mean, I've seen like a little bit of shed hunt, like the competitions, but I never knew like that you had areas and all that. That's cool.
Yeah.
So Ryan,
every dog has the same plant. Every dog. So if you run multiple dogs, then you get a second plant. And it's going to be within 15 or 20 foot of the first plant. But everybody, and then if you have second dog, everybody that has a second dog runs that same plant. Everybody has a third dog, then they move it again.
Yeah.
And you build points in the champion. So if you get a pass that day, you get 10 points. If you place in the top four, your point system goes 35 to 20. Just goes down the scale there. You end up getting 100 points, then you get your champion title. You can just title your dog like you can a hunt retrieve.
Yeah. I got a buddy who's really big into the rabbit dog trial stuff. And, right. You know, it's kind of, there's all this stuff. I mean, you can do competitions in just about everything anymore. I mean, they've got coon dog trials, which them has been going on for, and I'm sure the rabbit dog thing is too, but it seems like the shed dog deal's kind of new.
Just starting to come on.
I mean,
on.
New, I say new, but it's like coming on pretty strong now. Because I know a lot of guys nowadays have the recovery dogs too.
Yep.
Like to go out and find wounded deer. And I think that's really cool. The guys that do that.
Yeah, I wish you'd get into that.
Well, you see, that's what... Okay, so Ryan, I got a question for you. If I trained my dog, you think doing the shed stuff, do you think it would mess with his waterfowl hunting any at all? Or it help him?
No.
Or?
Nope, it wouldn't mess him up a bit.
Well, because like all they're doing is retrieving. I mean, it's all the same, basically. Yep. I mean, they got to smell it out just like a dead bird, pick it up, bring it to me. So maybe I need to work with him, because my dog does have a good nose, and I know that from when he was a puppy, we took him upland hunting, and I mean, he was 3 weeks old, and he smelt his first bird and went right up to it, almost pointed, almost.
Months.
Not 3 weeks.
That'd be
months.
Impressive.
That'd be real impressive. But, you know, he caught the whiff, and he went and, you know, almost caught this bird, and right ever since then, he's always been good at finding dead birds. So I imagine the deer horn thing, which I think that'd be a little tougher. I don't know if the sense is strong on a deer horn, especially like an older shed horn.
Well, I mean, if you don't care to share with us a little bit, how do you train your dog to do that?
To do the horn?
Yeah.
So when I got him as a pup, I just played fetch with him, made it a game, just got him amped up to the antler. He is crazy about an antler. It's just astronomical how a dog can be just so amped up. If I pick one up, he's there by my foot wanting to play fetch with it.
Yo, guys, I'm telling you, this dog is crazy about him because he posted something, was it last week or something like that? You stopped at somebody's house that had a shed, and the dog was literally going berserk. I've watched his male dog since he's got him, pretty much since he started posting him on Facebook, and watched the progression of him. It's crazy.
I'm the biggest Labrador fan around here, so I know what they're capable of. It sounds a lot like training a duck dog.
Yeah.
Honestly, because that's what I did with Tank. When I first got him, like you said, I had the rubber duck decoy, and it was just get him excited about it, make it fun, make it a game, you know, throw it, go get it, bring it back to me, good boy. You know, always keeping him high praise. And then I moved on to, obviously I had to gun train mine. So when he was a puppy, I'd have a gun or, you know, something that made a lot of loud noises to get him used to that. Cause that's one of the worst things you can do with a duck dog is get him trained, but never have him around any kind of, cause then some of them don't care, but then some of them get gun shy. So, you know, that was, it honestly sounds a lot like training for other than water. I think that would be the only difference.
Now, Ryan, do they make like a training kit or anything for these dogs?
So, Dawkins does. They make another scent that they put on there with a rubber antler. I didn't start mine out on a rubber antler. I just started him out on a. What I did is I took a tennis ball and put a tine off of antler, put it through that, and when I started him with the tennis ball, I had a tine in it, just got him used to the scent. And I knew when he was so amped up about the tennis ball, I just started getting away from the tennis ball pretty quick and just moved to an antler. He was, I got him in April. So in May, I guess, he was retrieving a 4-point shed, a 60, 70 inch shed back to me by hand every time I would throw it. It was crazy. The antler was bigger than he was.
Right. Hey, it's bred in their DNA, man. Everybody's like, how do you teach that dog to fetch? You don't. The dog knows how to fetch. He knows that's obedience is what you got to train a waterfowl dog. I mean, to go getting it, bring it back to you. That's bred into them. They're doing that. It's to getting them to sit, stay, bring it all the way to me. Listen to me. Hand signals, you know, because like my dog, he's just now coming on. This is, like I said, this is fourth year, and he's kind of starting to get the, if he goes out there like on a blind retrieve for a duck, I've got him to where he'll pay attention to me. If I say left or right, he'll know to go left or right if he can't see the duck. So I think, in my opinion, about a five-year-old dog is about the prime for a dog. I mean, that's when you're 5 to 6 years old is really when you're going to get your best years out of a duck dog, in my opinion. I don't know about this. I'm sure the shed dogs are kind of the same way.
Yeah. In our competitions, you'll see them up there. Some of them even older than that. There's some 8-9-year-old dogs. There's a guy in Wisconsin that has the Chesapeakes, and he still does it, and his dog's deaf, can't hear at all, and still does it to this day. It's just fun to watch that.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing how good those dogs can smell. I mean, you was talking about a dog being deaf. Well, that don't matter because it's using its nose. Other than, you know, having to look at the commander to say where to go and come to me and bring. I mean, that's it. But Labradors are an amazing creature. And if you've got one, they'll drive you up the wall. They're crazy because they chew up everything when they're little, and they always got to be on you. Like mine, whenever it's cold out when we're duck hunting, he's always got to be like leaning on me and touching me and sitting on me. But, you know, they're the best thing in the world. They're the best family dogs in the world. They're just, they're awesome animals. And if
so, now as a handler, you know, what do you got to do? You know, kind of take me through what you do whenever you get out there on the course or whatever.
So we go to the holding blind, wait till the judge to say we're ready. He walks. When I first got him back from our trainer, he would walk on a lead right there beside me and not pull on me. Now he's trying to run just as hard as he can to that line, but he's still on a lead. But he's just amped up. I set him down at the gate. He sits. I take his lead off of him. I tell him, find a bone, and we're gone. I can walk with him. Best scenario would be, and I always say it, follow your dog's reaction. Don't do what you think you should go do. Follow your dog, because your dog's going to do it.
Yeah.
And it's hard for me to do that, but I've gotten a lot better at it. I'm hunting just like he is. If I see one out there, I'll stop. I'm not supposed to get within 15 foot of it. I'll stop, and I'll whistle at him, find a bone. And he'll turn and look at me when I whistle, and I can give him, just like you said, them hands. I'd be pointing to the left, pointing to the right, and then he has to retrieve it back to hand to me.
Yeah,
there's a lot of stuff to remember.
Yep.
Oh yeah, it's they're just crazy. It's cool. It's cool, the whole deer horn thing. I mean, that's not nothing I can remember when I was younger and stuff. It wasn't never a thing,
right?
And now, I mean, I'm sure it was a thing. People were doing it, but it hasn't turned into like it has now. And now it's like big time. Like you can go to Orchlands now and they've got shed, like you was talking about with the rubber horn and all that. You can buy that some kind of kit at Orchlands. I don't know who makes it, whatever.
Right.
But I'm almost with Ryan on this deal. I'd rather use the real thing. I feel like use the real thing. Like when I trained my dog for duck hunting, I'd always take ducks that we'd kill and cut the wings off of them and tape them onto the dummy, or use a real duck. I used a real duck a lot, you know, because you want them to get used. You want the feathers in their mouth. You want them to smell a real duck, not something somebody's made somewhere or something. You know, you want it to be as real as you can get it, because that's the best thing I ever did with my dog was take him hunting. I mean, I trained him and got him to where I thought he was good. And then he hunted with me for 2 years before he really ever started doing anything. I mean, I had to go out there and get a lot of ducks with the dog swimming next to me, but I'd walk out there with him. I'd say, fetch up, tank, and he'd grab it, and he'd swim back with me. You know, it took a lot. It takes a lot. It's almost like raising kids. It takes so much patience. My little boy's playing basketball, and they wanted me to be a basketball. They asked us to be a basketball coach, me and Kyle Mankey, and we kind of, And I don't know how, if I could do it watching these kids and just, you just want to, oh gosh, you're like, you guys pay attention, you know? And it's just like a dog. I mean, they'll drive you nuts and you got to have the patience, Job, to deal with them. But man, the rewards in the long run's worth it. I mean, I haven't went and got a duck for 3 years now.
Right.
It's been good time. So.
So now, Ryan, do you have anybody like contact you to have you come bring your dog out to like their properties to look for sheds for them or anything like that?
I've got friends around here that do. We actually, my banker, he had a, and our insurance agent, they live close together there. They both had this buck on camera all season. They were back on Thanksgiving. They were rabbit hunting, or Christmas, maybe around Christmas, but they found it dead. And he had already shed one side when they found it dead. And they're wanting to go find the other side of it.
I never thought about that.
What's that?
You know, finding somebody like Ryan.
Right. That's what I didn't know if that was like a thing. Like if that was like a service, like people pay you to come out and.
Yeah.
You know.
I know another place he could go if he'd just come over and do it.
Where's that?
You know, I drove through there coming back from Indiana a couple weeks ago, and I thought the same thing.
What, over at your neighbor's, Justin?
Yeah.
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 That's where all the big deer are at anyways.
That seems how it always is, isn't it?
Yeah. Hey, speaking of dropping horns, I mean, I had deer dropping antlers in December this year, like right around Christmas. Is that, I don't know, you're a shed horn finder. Maybe you know why they're doing that.
I've noticed that pressure, if there's a lot of pressure on them, they'll start dropping them early. Nutrition.
Yeah.
If they got good nutrition, they're going to hold them longer.
See, I think that's the problem where we were at. The acorn crop was terrible. There wasn't any. So they basically was just living off grass. We didn't have any food plots or any crop fields or nothing like that where we live here. So I think that had a lot to do with why the deer. And we had a little bit of crappy weather there for a little bit early. Yeah. But it seemed like there was a weak span there in December where I was finding shed horns like crazy. Like my shooter bucks was dropping horns faster than I could get out there to hunt them, and it was getting pretty aggravating. But and I was finding them in a field. I mean, so what? Okay, there's another question. Where do you usually find most of your shed horns? I know it's just a kind of game of luck, but there's got to be like a little bit of a pattern to it.
South slopes. This time of year, your south slopes are going to stay warmer. That's where your deer's going to go bed,
mm-hmm.
where they can lay in the sun and stay warmer. Bedding areas. Trails. If you find a trail, follow it.
Yeah,
you're bound to come across something.
Anywhere that the deer use
creek crossing.
Yeah, yep. Anything that the deer use a lot. I mean, it makes perfect sense. It isn't that hard to figure out, really. There are not going to be any horns where there's no deer. So
now, Brian, you just put on your own shed hunt not too long ago. Was it back in December?
Yeah,
in Hollister.
Yep.
Take us through the work you did to get that done.
So I got a good buddy. He's a highway patrolman down here. He shed hunts, and contacted him. He was interested in helping me. Let me use his land, his facilities. Just went out and I built courses, I guess, you know, you trim out your boundaries. You walk your, after you figure out your course, walk, make sure there's no obstacles like metal or stuff like that in it. I had a field course, which was good native grass. It was pretty tall, so you could hide them in it pretty easy. I posted online. There was people from everywhere in our group, basically West Virginia, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Indiana.
So what's one of these deals pay?
They don't pay anything.
Nothing.
You just title your dog, build your pedigree.
That could pay though.
Yeah.
Yeah, because yeah, he can breed that dog.
Yeah.
Yep.
That is
I don't know. I just assume people coming from West Virginia. I thought, you know,
oh, them guys are eat up. If you've ever been like when talking to Big Dave about them rabbit trials.
Oh, I know, but Big Dave's ate up with it. That's the
I
deal.
Know, but them guys was driving plumb out to Colorado doing rabbit hunts. I mean, it was crazy.
So how many people did you have at that hunt?
I had 30 champion dogs and I had about 15 working class dogs, basically.
Wow. That's a pretty good turnout, I'm assuming.
That is.
Yeah. And, you know, some of the people, bring multiple dogs. Some of them run two or three dogs. So.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah.
I mean, we get some 15 people to come to a crappie tournament, so.
Right.
Are you planning on doing this again next year? Or yeah, well, this year?
I plan on, so you can do, you can have six events in a court, in your season. And your season, you know, runs from April to March. So you can do 2 3-day days or 3 2-day days, however you want to do it. But I plan on having another one in December.
So I've got a question. So then I guess you're sanctioned to hold these events?
It's with UKC. Yep, you have to put in your dates, and UKC approves it.
And do they have to, like, approve your course or whatever?
No, they don't. They don't approve your course or none of that. They just approve your dates. Yeah, they first got to approve you as a club, and then you have to have your dates approved.
I didn't realize it was all this. I'm gonna be honest. I mean, I knew it was a
growing deal, but I didn't.
Yeah. I mean, it's way more complex than you think it is. It's not just, hey, we go throw a bunch of shed horns out in this field and let these dogs find it. I mean, it's...
Well, and okay, I guess for me, I was assuming, because I've been around the coon trials and the rabbit trial deal, that it would be timed, like whoever's dog found them the quickest or whatever. But on this deal, it's just based off of finding
how many they find.
Yeah, they got so like in your working class, you got to find 4 or 5. You got 15 minutes. So just like you said, it's still a time deal. Yeah.
Right.
You're still running against the clock, running against the fastest dog.
Yeah, cuz
in your champion class, you got 5 to find.
15 minutes isn't that long. I mean, I'm sure.
No.
Especially when you're out there doing it. I mean, that's not, you got to find 5 horns in 15 minutes. That's
so I guess kind of take me through your process. Like, you turn your dog out. How long do you let him look? You know, if he hasn't found one, do you kind of bring him back and reset or anything like that? Or
no, I don't. I'm just helping him hunt. If I find one, I'll try to get him downwind of it so he can smell it. So I'll get above wind and try to get him downwind of it so he'll smell it and come across it. I'm helping him hunt just as much as he's hunting.
Yeah, I mean, like when we upwind bird hunt, you always go into the wind. You don't never go.
Right.
You want to give the dog the advantage. They have a nose, and it's really amazing how good they can smell with it. So
setting your courses, you're watching the weather a week ahead. It's like, we got an event this weekend, and I'm sure it's going to be a snow course or an ice course, one of the two.
Yeah.
But you're looking at the hourly forecast and trying to get the wind in the best favor of the dog. I mean, you don't want to set a course and the wind's hitting in the back.
It makes it hard.
It happens, but yeah, it does.
Yeah, because the wind changes, you know, one way or the other, whether you like it or not.
Yep.
Yeah, it usually does it to me when I'm deer hunting. Like, I climb all the way up in the tree, and it's perfect, and then the deer come in, and it swings and hits me in the back. So,
you know, I think the reason why shed hunting is getting so popular with dogs is because it seems to be a family-oriented sport. Everybody can do it in the family.
Yeah, I mean, it's yep. And I think it's because none of us can kill any deer anymore, so there's all these deer. The only way you're going to get any horns is if you find them.
We get some consolation prizes.
Like, the shed hunting ought to be awesome out at me and Matt's farms, because we ain't killed a buck in 2 years, and they're there. We don't kill them.
We was just talking about, I mentioned family. Now, you got a boy that is autistic, and he can do this, and he does it.
Yeah, he does it with me. He's nonverbal. He can say a few words, enough that I can understand him. But with my male dog, Blake doesn't have to talk to him. So, I mean, if he finds one, he's bringing it back. So in the youth class, in the competitions, you can walk with the youth, and you can talk to the youth, and you can encourage the youth. And Rex knows who I am. So he sees me, he's coming back to us.
That's awesome. I mean, anything you can get your kids out to do is good news. But
right,
like you said, like the dog does, he knows what he's doing. So he just, you know, and that I don't know, the whole thing is cool. So,
and I know Blake probably enjoys it because he's getting to do something with his dad, and he's still being competitive at the same time.
Yep, he is. He likes to be outside. He likes to be doing something all the time.
Yeah, I think that a lot more kids, if people would just take them out and let them do this kind of stuff, would realize then video games really aren't all that fun. Like, my little boy loves to play. He'll play video games. Right. But if I'm like, hey, I'm going to go outside or I'm going fishing, he'll throw that PlayStation in the trash.
Right.
Like, he don't care. He's ready to go fishing. Like, he was all excited. I got the boat back together today, and he's like, when are we going fishing? I'm like, well, it's going to snow either 1 to 16 inches. We don't know. So we might wait just a little bit. But, no, anytime you can get a kid out in the outdoors, whatever it is, it doesn't matter what you're doing. I think it's great because, hey, if they don't do it, it ain't going to be no more. I mean, if we don't get the youngins out doing stuff, it's just going to die off, especially in today's world. I mean, hunting's very looked down upon through a lot of people. So
that's what the UKC is big about. They're trying to get more youth involved. So we got a youth division in it. And our national championship is in March, and they've got a scholarship fund. So your top four dogs at the youth at the national championship, the top four dogs get a scholarship. And last year was the first year they'd done a scholarship fund, and first place you had $1,000 scholarship, and then it just went down. And then it was matched because it was so much. So many people, I guess you would say, was involved with it that Ukanuba Dog Food said that they would match it, and it was good.
So, Ryan, if somebody wanted to get into this and wanted to do something about, you know, try to figure out how could they get a hold of you, or I mean, how would they maybe get started in trying to do this?
So they can find me on Facebook and find me. My name on there. They can find me under Ozark Mountain Shed Dogs on there. They can message me, call me. My phone number's on there.
So anybody that's, if you're listening and sounds like something you might like to try to do or find out more about, I mean, guys, go on there, check Ryan out on his Facebook page, Ozark Mountain Shed Dogs. I'm definitely going to dabble with it. I'm going to take old Tankers out and kind of mess with him a little bit. Like I said, I don't know. If I'm, he ain't be no competition or nothing, but just for my own personal pleasure. I mean, he likes getting out anyways, so
right.
If he could find me a horn every once in a while, that'd be awesome. So I'm definitely
there's several other clubs in Missouri too, but then there's some great trainers up around Kansas City area, Smithville Lake. Roger Stigler is probably world class at training antler dogs. That's where it all originated at, and on the wild horn side, because he trains with no scent whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, it's real.
Now, life. What do you know, Ryan? What something like that would cost?
I don't know off the top of my head. No,
I'm just curious.
Yeah,
here's the deal: it's if you go to a world class trainer, you're going to get world class results most likely.
Like Freddie King.
Like Freddie Clinton, well, training duck dogs. Stuff like that ain't cheap. Now, and I say that to say this. Just because it's, you get what you pay for in life.
Right, right.
And there was a thing on a dump truck, and now I can't remember what it said.
Cool stuff ain't
good work
cheap.
Ain't oh. cheap, and cheap work ain't, or, good.
Yeah, you,
or
you
something
got
like
it.
That.
I think you stumbled into it.
Yeah, and that's how it goes with everything. I mean, if you got a guy who says, yeah, I'll train your dog for $100, you're going to get $100 dog training. You know what I mean? He's probably not going to do nothing. So you can't go, if you want to do something like that and you really want to, it's an investment most of, like a duck dog, dogs are an investment, people. These things live for 15 years, you know, most of the time. They're not a lot of people just, I mean, I know a lot of guys hunting dogs are just a tool, which that's fine. I know a lot of the beagle guys don't bring their beagles in, give them a bath every night, let them sleep on the couch with them. You know, it's... But dogs are an investment. It's not something that you can just say, well, I'm done with that. I don't want to do it anymore. I'm done with him. You know, you got to, it's, if you're going to do it, you got to do it. I mean, that's how commit I feel it. About it. So
well, I think the guy Ryan just mentioned, I actually think he sells dogs already trained too. I may be wrong.
Oh, I'm sure he does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Most of your big dog trainers like that will sell finished dogs. Well,
I've looked into them, and they're worth it if you want to get in the competition.
Well, Ryan, I appreciate you coming on here, buddy. I don't want to hold you all night.
We're good.
I heard through a little grapevine you might have to go push some snow later tonight, so I'm sure you're excited about that.
Unfortunately, I get to work nights. So.
You know what? I done that. My father-in-law pushes snow. I done it with him one time. We left on a Thursday, come home on a Sunday, and I said, I'll never do it again. So I haven't never went back with him. So there was that. That was enough for me.
I pushed snow one time with a 379 Peterbilt pushing through Chicago with the bumper with snow packed on front of it. That was it.
That don't count. If you don't got to go down somebody's steep driveway and hope you don't go through the front of their house, that ain't nothing. Because, see, the thing is, up here at the lake, we don't have any flat ground that people want their driveways pushed off, and it's usually pretty straight up and down. They want to get out, you know. They want to be out and go out and about, but they want you to come push the snow. Well, I don't know. It gets interesting sometimes. We've run over a couple things a few times. It's just whatever. We piled up a bunch of parking. I got to tell this story. We went and plowed a church parking lot one time. Me and my father, we're just plowing right through it. We were tired, ready to go home. Wide open. We piled her all up and got it looking good. We went home. It was probably 2-3 days later, the snow finally melted, and the guy from the church called us. He's like, you guys got to come back out here. We're like, all right. So we got out there. We have piled every one of their parking curbs up in a pile. They didn't have them like staked down. They were just laying out there. So we had to go back and put them all back out in the parking lot. We just,
that was fun.
Oh, yeah. They're concrete. It was fun, but we never knew they was there. We were just hauling the mail trying to get out of there and go home. So, well, Ryan, I appreciate you coming on here, buddy. I definitely learned a lot about this, a lot more than I knew about it. I mean,
you'll probably see him at your next competition with old Tank. Huh?
I doubt it. I mean, I might come watch, never. But I doubt it.
There you go, yeah.
But,
yeah, if you've got more questions, there's Richland Creek Antler Dogs. They're up around Syracuse, Missouri. He actually trained my sexy Rexy male on obedience and hold conditioning. He's really, really good with it, too. You can look him up on Facebook.
There you go, guys. And you check them all out. I mean, it's definitely something I'm going to mess with. I don't know if I'm crazy serious.
Before we go.
Yeah.
Before we go. You guys probably didn't know this. And Ryan is a monster Caney Mountain buck killer.
Well, I wouldn't consider it a monster Caney Mountain buck, but maybe out on Glade Top somewhere.
Did you guys probably seen the picture? Was it this year that one? Was it one you killed this year?
Yeah, I killed one this year.
Yeah, it's a pretty good one, guys.
Where now? You said Caney Mountain, like the conservation area.
Yeah, that's what he's. Yeah,
my father-in-law went on a black powder hunt down there this year.
I was supposed to, and I had to go to a dog competition instead.
Yeah, I don't think he killed anything. I think he shot like 7-8 times. How do you shoot a muzzleloader that many times and don't? I don't. Whatever.
But. Skills.
Man, his arm was probably tired pushing the lead back
in
there.
That's what I told him. I was like, "Geez, man." He's like, "Well, I never did hit one," and I'm like, "What?"
That was a bolt action muzzleloader.
How do you not hit one? You shoot 6 times. No, it wasn't at the same deer. That was in a weekend, but still. I mean, so now wait a minute. We ain't just going to shove the dirt over this deer. What's this deer? Let's hear about it just a little bit.
Oh, I mean, he was a good buck. I mean, he wasn't no 150, 60 inch class buck by no means, but he was up in the 130s.
Yeah, but
he's bigger than anything we killed this year.
Well, that ain't saying much.
I killed. It was during rifle season. I mean, it's first morning of rifle season.
Yeah, but down there in your guys' neck of the woods, that's, you know,
pretty respectable.
Pretty respectable deer down there, if you ask me. Even up here,
it is. There's no crops down here,
right? You know, even up here around the Lake of the Ozarks, we've got 160-inch deer. I think I've heard of them.
Two or three.
Yeah, like three or four of them that we all chase around. But for the most part, your nice bucks are going to be in the 125 to 135 range. I mean, that's anybody kills a big buck around here, that's usually about how big they are. So, which nothing wrong with that.
Even when they say they're a 150, that's really what they are.
Yeah, right. Like, we've had that talk with a lot of stuff about people thinking the deer scores way more than it does, which, you know what? You almost just don't want to burst their bubble. I mean, me and Matt's had people coming up to us and telling us they've got 180-inch eight-pointers, you know, and it's like, okay, yeah, that's cool. You got any pictures? Oh, I ain't got no pictures of it, but, you know, I've seen it. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
I got a 200-incher hanging on my wall.
Yeah?
Yeah, I measured him twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
The ones on my wall, I don't know if I'd get them. If I measured them twice, I don't think they'd be 200 inches. yeah, they'd probably be pretty close, but. A little over. Actually, about 300 to be exact, but...
Whatever.
Who's talking about? Who's doing math?
Yeah.
Now we're starting to get cocky. We got to get off.
All right.
All right, Ryan. We appreciate you coming on here, man.
Well, I appreciate it.
Everybody be sure to...
Anybody got any questions, look me up on Facebook.
Yep, be sure to go check them out at Ozark Mountain Shed Dogs and see what all they got going on there. It's a pretty interesting deal, so... But... All right, well, we're going to take us a break, and then we'll come back and finish this thing up. So, Ryan, thanks for talking with us, man.
You bet. Thank you.
Hi, folks. This is Matt Smith of Ozark Traditions TV. I hope you are enjoying this OTTV podcast. When you're not listening to the team members discuss hunting strategies and telling stories, you can go to our YouTube channel and watch your favorite episodes there. And while you're on the web, head on over to our Facebook page and give us a like. Thanks for listening to this week's OTTV podcast.
All right, guys, welcome back. First off, I want to thank Ryan for coming on talking to us about the shed hunting deal. That was pretty cool. I'm anxious to check that out. But now we're going to move on to how our week went. We haven't been deer hunting. It's been done.
But we did do some killing.
We did. We got invited by our good buddy Josh Sloan to go gigging.
Thank you, Josh.
And we actually filmed this for an episode of Ozark Traditions. It's going to be awesome, guys.
It was pretty epic.
We got out there and he's
like, I didn't get no invite.
Ah.
We mailed it. It ought to be in sometime this week.
Right, you'll get it sometime tomorrow. But, guys, we got out there. It was a nice night. Was Saturday night?
Yep.
Saturday night. It was pretty warm. Took Drakey heat, which, of course, I can't go nowhere without that kid.
My and, wife come.
Brittany come. We had a good time. We got out there, and Josh said, we might see a gar or two, but we're going to go gigging. So we got out there. For the first 30 minutes, I filmed Matt missing fish.
Well, wait a minute. Was it? I feel like it was 45 minutes of me missing, but anyways.
No, I think he finally hit one. And then you know what, though? Once you got on a roll?
You know what, though? I did the numbers on it. It'd been 18 years since I'd been gigging.
Yeah.
So, to say I was a little bit rusty would be an understatement.
It is not easy.
But once I kind of got tuned in, then we got to rolling, then I kind of got tired.
Yeah.
And then TJ, he got a crack at it.
Guys, his beanie cap he had on, he was sweating underneath it, but it was so cold out, it was freezing. It looked like frost on top. But you'll see, it's on the
deal.
Anybody wants to look, if you want to see some pictures of it, we ended up killing, 30?
32 suckers, I think.
Yeah, and 20 gar. Guys, the gar, I've never get gar before. And it was
an absolute blast.
It was so much fun. And you know what? They're not bad eating. That was the thing that surprised me the most of the night. Because we cleaned them and we fried them up. Josh Sloan, he's the man on this deal.
Oh, yeah. This was a complete guide service type deal. Like, all we brought was a smile and some cameras.
I did bring some cooking oil and potatoes.
Well, all right. We brought snacks. But, I mean, other than that.
We had enough. We didn't always bring snacks, people. We've talked about this
many times. Wait a minute. How can you keep snacks dry on the river?
Well, dry bag, dude. Come on, dude. I mean to tell you.
Did you eat them? Did you eat them before you got on the boat?
You put a backpack on, man. It stays up out the water. You can reach back there and grab you a little Debbie and get up here.
I tell you what, Hampton, you're gonna have to come run with us just a little bit. We'll get you trained up.
Wait till he comes on the snagging trip and sees the snack box. Yeah, we have one whole
compartment
dedicated to snacks. And when I say snacks, I mean Brittany throws a couple foot-long sub sandwiches in this deal.
Hey, and I keep first aid kit in there. So, I mean, it's not just snacks. But
right, but it's mostly snacks. Like, we got a couple band-aids.
You
got
to move the snacks to get to the first aid kit.
Right. It's on the bottom.
Yeah, we got a couple, two or three band-aids and a wrap.
Safety first, huh?
That's right.
You won't starve to death while you're bleeding out. You know what I mean? Like, we can keep your sugar up. We can keep you going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but.
But, man, the gigging was a blast. I mean, I couldn't get over. We got into one spot. I mean, and you'll see it on the show, but there was hundreds
of gar. I don't know, which we talked about this. The gar spawn in the summertime, I'm pretty sure, because I've seen them doing it bass fishing before. These things, I don't know if they was just laid in there because the water was warmer in the
area we were at, top secret.
Yeah, it had water, but there was tons of them in there. And they're the easiest thing in the world to get.
Well, they're easy and they're hard. I mean, because they are very hard. Well, you gotta hit them hard.
Literally hard. Like, guys, I told Josh we got him back, and I've got the old Bubba Blade knife, you know, and I'm proud of it. I got the old electric non.
The nicest, that was probably the nicest, because Josh was like, this, the look on his face when he smiled, and he's like, yeah, you can try that.
Well, I'm like, oh, I'll just knock the sides off one of them, you know, and he's like, okay, yeah, go ahead. Oh, boy. Dude, I couldn't.
He had to crank.
No, it ain't happening.
You can't get through the skin, man. You cannot get through the skin. I don't care. I pushed down. I put new blades on it. I did everything.
You had to crank up the old steel 170, didn't you?
Yeah. The old Bubba wasn't having it.
Actually, when Josh went to his truck and got out the 10 snips, I knew I was way outgunned on this steel.
Yeah.
He cleaned these things with a 10 snip, and it's like a shell. Like, you cut through it, and the skin's not attached to the meat. It's so...
It's the exact opposite. When you fillet a fish, the meat is attached to the skin. On these gar, the meat is attached to, the fish.
And the
skin is loose.
Yeah, it's like they wear an armor. It's like they've got this...
It's cool.
...armor on.
Now, on the gar... Is there like a bloodline or mudline or anything in there you got to drain out?
No, because all you do is you eat the top loin on a gar. You don't eat the bottom half because they say the
eggs are toxic.
In the guts, I guess, because I watched a whole deal on it. They said don't even mess with the bottom half because there could be toxins in there.
Yeah.
It's like the blowfish, man. The Chinese people eat them deadly blowfish. We can eat a gar.
Right.
You know, they're like, if you don't clean this thing right, you die.
And so here's the deal on the gar, because we're like, well, what's it going to taste like, you know, or whatever.
Well, me and Matt was expecting it to be terrible. I mean, let's be honest.
Well, I didn't think it'd be like filet mignon, you know.
No.
But my wife, I think she described it the best. She said it tastes like alligator, if you've ever had alligator.
And it kind of had the texture of alligator.
Yeah.
You know, a little chewy, but not like crazy chewy.
Right.
Kind of like.
So it was like chicken.
Well.
More like a pork. Kinda, yeah, like pork. Like if you took a pork steak and you cut pieces
and the meat
off,
and the meat's a little bit fatty.
Yeah, I don't. It was good. I mean, it impressed me.
The suckers were
always good. You know, and then we ate a what we call a quill back. And if anybody doesn't know what that is, look it up. It's like a carp. I mean, we ate it all, guys. We was eating.
If we stuck it, we ate it.
We did. We
had a couple taters.
I'm going to have to look up quill back because I've never heard nothing called that.
They look like a buffalo, but they got a big long, or not a big long, but they got like a fin that sticks out just a little different on their back. And they don't get as big.
When you said quill back, I was thinking one of them ocean fish, you know, it's poisonous if you step on them.
That's a lionfish.
Yeah, that was the first thing
that
popped in my mind.
Those things are actually really good to eat, though. See, now... I'm getting informed on this Florida life because my parents has lived there for a month now.
Yeah.
I called Pop, talked to him a little bit yesterday, and he was telling me about all the stuff he's been doing. He's been going out on the bay with a guy he works with.
Yeah.
They've been catching a couple of redfish. He was telling me all these other stuff. He's like, oh, we caught this one thing, but he's like, I can't remember what it's called. I'll just have to send you pictures of it. All this the spots. He said they call them spots, and then they call these specks, and then these are grunts, and... And I'm like, well, what is it, Dad? And he's like, I don't know the name of it. That's just what they call them, and they's good to eat. So I'll just have to send you pictures of them and show them to you. But
I have heard of the grunts.
Yeah, we only caught, like, what? 300 of them.
An hour. 300 an hour. I don't
it
know.
Was, that was, which we talked about that on the podcast, the ocean, the right. deep. I'm going to say deep sea fishing, but it wasn't. You know, it was offshore fishing.
Right.
And, guys, we caught so many. We caught fish we didn't know what they was. Maybe we didn't want to know what they was.
Yeah.
Like, you never seen them. I mean, I thought I had him, you know. I thought I had him. I was reeling on him.
You looked good for a second.
He had me the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, when the captain doesn't even grab, like, the gaff or, like, even come acknowledge that you hooked a fish, he's like, oh, yeah, you hooked one of them groupers. And I'm like, well, you know, get ready. I'm on a bit of sucker. Get the box ready. And he's like,
yeah. Yeah, whatever, hillbilly.
You're going to lose about 300 foot of line. Thanks.
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
That was all we did. Lost a hook and weight. But we was like, man, I want to catch something big. You know, we just kept on. And he's like, all right. So Matt caught a white snapper, chocolate yep. snapper, whatever they called it.
A white snapper. I caught a chocolate snapper, but I think it was the white one that the shark.
Okay, hold on. Everybody listening. He caught a chocolate snapper. Now imagine in your head what you think a chocolate snapper is going to look like.
Yeah, it didn't look like that.
They're not. They're white.
With like brown stripes.
Right. Like I could see if it was like a black or a brown colored fish, why they call it a chocolate.
I don't know.
Anywho.
White chocolate maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. But you caught that snapper, shark about eat it.
Yeah.
Little bitty shark, 12, 13 foot long.
Yeah.
About eat that thing. Well, we had like the head left or whatever.
We were racing. Me and the shark were.
Oh my gosh, guys, you couldn't. So if you reel your fish up too slow, the sharks just eat it. Or the dolphins. But the dolphins are impressive because they know not to get hooked.
Yeah.
Like they'll bite everything. They'll be like lips hanging on your, like a fish, like the head. Or the sharks, you'll hook them and they'll take all your stuff. You know, they just come up and eat the whole thing. But we dropped that down there and caught something. I don't know what it was. He said maybe a grouper.
Or something.
I mean, that's the cool thing about out there, guys, is you can't fish with too big a bait. You just fling it out there and see what eats it. And you never know. I mean, it's a lot of fun. And I'm anxious. My dad, like I said, my mom and dad moved down there. My dad's dying for me to come down. He's going to come get his bass boat. He's been seeing some guys catching crappie. And I mean, big ones. He said that lake down there that he talked to some guys, they throw 10-inch crappie back. They're not even. Why even keep a little one like that, you know?
Right.
So I'm excited to go down there and do all that. And he's... They just got moved in their house, so I might take some camera equipment down there. Which, talking about that, you know, we went and done the gigging deal. Guys, we had this boat look like a spaceship. We had
it was
six GoPros. And
it was one high-tech little rig.
But you know what? I think it'll turn out pretty good. It was a good show. It was a good time. Josh is...
Man, it was a lot of fun. And I tell you what, I just don't know... You don't hear of a lot of guys gigging anymore and stuff. I mean, like I said, I hadn't done it for 18 years.
Yeah.
But, man, it's just a blast.
It's a blast. And a lot of people don't do it, I think, because they don't think the fish are that good to eat or something. But
I don't know. But, man, I mean,
I've never done it.
Just the whole experience, the whole going out, gigging the fish, coming back. We built a little fire.
Took it right there.
We cleaned them. We cooked them. We ate them. We had a good time.
Yeah.
You know.
It's always fun.
Just more people need to do it.
Yeah. And it's something you can do with multiple people.
Right.
You know, most of the time where you're gigging, you're going to stay pretty close to where you put your boat in, or we do.
Well, and I mean, and you don't have to go out there and gig 100 fish.
No, honestly, you don't need to. Like, it's hard. Okay. It's like catching crappie.
It's hard to stop.
When they're biting really good, it's hard to quit. Now, if they didn't put a limit on them, we'd probably stay out there and catch them all day.
Oh, I know I would.
Yeah. But, you know, you got to quit eventually unless you're real, real brave.
Or stupid,
whichever one you want to call it. Speaking of crappie, I got my old crappie log going today. Took it out on the lake. I'm excited about that. I've had it laying over in the brush, and I drove by her the other day, and I was like, dang it. I'm going to get her out, get her cleaned up, slopped a new motor on it real quick, and took off to the lake. Literally, that's what I did. I put a new motor on it today and took it to the lake. So she's tuned in, ready to go. So I feel sorry for
the crappies. While you guys were out gigging Saturday night, I was out Saturday morning checking trail cams.
Yeah.
And I've still got bucks holding on.
There's a couple deer around here. up by Grandpa Wayne's and stuff, I've seen some bucks still holding. I think it's a lot like what Ryan said earlier. The nutrition and the stress, you know, if the deer's eating good and they ain't stressed out, they'll probably keep their horns.
Yeah.
Well, the buck, and I think Matt seen it on Facebook. I posted it.
Yeah, I seen
it.
Yeah.
That buck I had never seen before. I don't know where he come from. I didn't see him during the first of the year. I haven't seen, never seen him.
Well, you're just going to have to hunt him in February. I mean, it's that simple.
Yeah.
I guess, or let my neighbors hunt him one and underneath the light. I don't know, but.
Hey, that seems like the going thing out at your place.
It is.
Gonna have to change the rules.
I'm not going
to
mention no names, but I busted somebody. And I think they were coming for my camera to see what I had. They didn't cross the fence, but I kind of met them at the fence about the same time I was there. And they didn't like that.
Dang, you've got, like, problems down there.
You ought to move up here by us.
Well, I'll be honest with you. They're teenagers, most of them.
Yeah. So. Oh, damn kids. Now, Matt got an interesting note left. Somebody trying to hunt moving on your place, too.
Yeah. I ain't having it. No, we did. That was kind of, I don't know, I guess because of the hunt stand, Onyx.
I'd say a lot of guys can get on there and look up and see big pieces of property.
So that we got a letter, you know, guy wanting to hunt and all this stuff. It was a nice letter and everything. And
yeah,
I guess we'll contact him and tell him.
There's no deer out here. There's no sense in worrying about it.
That, you know, we're probably not going to allow anybody to hunt because, you know, we hunted ourselves. But, I mean, and I get it, you know.
Yeah.
I guess like you and I were talking, you know, you mail out 35 letters or whatever. Maybe you get one or two back and you get permission to hunt a place. I mean, that's all you can do. But I thought it was kind of odd. But
on that getting permission to hunt, how do you think these big guys, and I'm talking, and I'm going to name drop here, the Primos guys that's out, that's not when they're not hunting on a ranch, some of the other guys, they just go door knocking. You know, 1 year and they just make friends in the next year and they just keep being able to stay on that place.
A lot of those guys, I think, get places to hunt from like places like Whitetail Properties and realtors that are trying to sell a property. Because if you had a place and Michael Waddell comes out there and kills a big buck on it, you're probably not going to have a hard time selling that.
Right. Or, you know, like if you've got a property here and, you know, Matt Smith comes out and kills a big buck on it, you know, that may be sold tomorrow.
Instant.
Guaranteed.
Instant.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Instant.
I mean, it's going to be sold before he gets the deer gutted.
That's right.
Right. They just find out he's hunting it.
Way over listing price, too. Just throwing it out there for you.
Once they get his autograph, they sign the other autograph that they own it.
So anybody listening, if you're wanting to get about $300,000 more than what you're asking, just let Matt come out there and hunt.
Yeah.
We'll just, I mean, it's a proven fact.
Yeah. There it is.
There it is. Well, I was going to try to go all night without talking about this, but I don't know if I can. My heart just hurts so bad from it, and I'm just going to have to throw it out there.
Just do it quick like a Band-Aid, man.
The Kansas City Chiefs lost in the AFC Championship game to Joey Burrow in overtime.
They folded up like a cheap lawn chair, didn't they?
No, Justin. You're throwing salt on me.
I tell you what, though. He's talking tough over the airwaves.
Yeah. No, they really did. I mean,
it was tough.
I had to throw that in there.
I tell you what, it is a good game.
Yep.
Anybody that says any different, they don't know nothing.
No.
They lost by 3 points in overtime.
Well, guys, they went to the Super Bowl 2 years in a row. Made the AFC Championship game 4 years in a row.
So here's a bigger question. Are you going for the Rams? Or are you going for the Bengals?
You know, we was talking about that when I got here, and I've kind of got torn feelings on this. I really wouldn't mind seeing Matt Stafford win him a Super Bowl because he's been in the league for so long, and he's never, you know, this is the first time he's been in the playoffs.
Right.
You know, so in one hand, I kind of want him to win. But then again, like Cincinnati, I feel their pain, man. Like they haven't never won a Super Bowl. The Rams have won Super Bowls.
Right.
The Bengals was a small town. I mean, the Bengals is one of the smallest franchises in the league. Like they don't even have an indoor practice facility, guys.
When you talk big football stuff, they are what is considered kind of like Kansas City, a small market.
Yeah.
you know,
yeah.
football
they're,
franchise.
They're not the big name. You know, you don't think of, like, when you think of Super Bowls, you think of Tom Brady. You think of the Steelers.
Well, you think of the 49ers, you know.
I'd say the Cowboys, but they don't ever win anything. I'd throw that in.
But
they think they're what very I good.
What I wanted to see, I wanted to see a Rams and Chiefs Super Bowl.
And that's what I really thought we were going to get. But, you know, the because cards didn't fall our
way. We've never got to see it. We never got to see it in Missouri. I don't think they ever faced each other.
No. No, the Chiefs were terrible back in those days.
But.
Well, the Rams was too. Somewhat.
We have had a St. Louis Cardinals in the Royals World Series, though.
But when the Rams did win the Super Bowl, the greatest show on turf, they came to Arrowhead and lost.
It
just,
did.
Just thought I'd throw that out there. I was there, if anybody's wondering. I'm always there, if you're wondering.
It was a good time.
That's the Governor's Cup or something, ain't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it used to be. Now it is.
I think
Kroenke moved everybody away. So
yeah. Good riddance.
Yeah, whatever. It sucked because I knew a lot of people that were fans of the St. Louis Rams. And
right.
The St. Louis is an awesome city. I mean, me and you've been to some Cardinals. I love Cardinals. St. Louis Cardinals is, I mean, we go to two or three games a year because they're cheap. They're fun to watch.
Yep.
You know, and you usually can get good seats for 40, 50 bucks. You know what I mean? You don't have to spend.
Speaking of cheap, I looked at Super Bowl tickets today.
You going?
$40,000 a seat for bottom row.
Oh, yeah. That's where the celebs sit.
I bought six of them.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. All right. Tell me when.
Yeah. I'd go.
meet me out there the day before, Matt.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Nah, they won't let me in California.
I don't want to go to California. I didn't leave nothing there last time I went there. My aunt used to live there, and I hated it. And I was a little kid. That'll tell you how bad it is.
Well, I'm not gonna say what those Chiefs tickets were going for, but
they weren't cheap.
I could have sold mine and made a dollar or two.
Yeah. You know what though? It's I'm about over it now. Money. But boy, when it first happened, I didn't even want to. My wife was anybody that's on friends with my wife on Facebook could see she was aggravating me and doing the stupid TikTok things. I wasn't having it. I was already mad. I'm over there pouting. She's making fun of me. Because, I mean, they had us up there. Like, I thought we got the overtime, got the coin flip. Last time we did that, we won. This time, we didn't go 30 yards.
Just wasn't their day.
But you got to put yourself in everybody else's shoes. We've done that to poor Josh Allen and them just a week ago. So it'll humble you up maybe next year. I mean, that's what you got to do. Pick up.
Did you guys see the Dorito bag going around Facebook this week?
Has it got anything to do with it, Pat Mahomes' wife and his brother? Because I'm about no, tired of no, seeing it, all it's that got, stuff.
It's got Mahomes and Andy Reid and a couple others on there, and it says Nacho Year.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I've seen it all.
To say that we're not thrilled about those memes and stuff would be a gross understatement.
Yeah, but it's whatever.
You know what, though? It's kind of cool. So I grew up my whole life, you know, I was a Camden Laker.
Yeah.
And, you know, back eons ago, we were feared and hated everywhere because we won a lot.
Well, that's how the Chiefs are getting to be that way now.
Right. So everybody hated us. You know, we were cheaters, you know, this, that, the other, whatever, you know, because they were good. Well, you know, back in the day, to be a Chiefs fan wasn't no big deal. Nobody hated you.
Nobody hated you.
You were terrible. Yeah. And the just first year, whatever.
Hey,
you
the
know.
First year they went to the Super Bowl, everybody was pulling for Kansas City and Pat Mahomes. So, yeah. Like, man, they ain't won a Super Bowl in 50 years. Like, Andy Reid needs, and then we finally win, and then we kept winning.
They don't like it.
They didn't like it.
So now it's, you know.
So now they can kick us. So now if you've watched any national football, well, Pat Mahomes is done, broken, Chiefs are, whatever. The dynasty's not going to happen, blah, blah, blah. Tom Brady was in the league for 22 years. He won 7 Super Bowls.
Right.
He didn't go every single year.
You're right, yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? And he finally retired today, so.
But
yeah.
when congrats, he did
congrats,
go.
Congrats, go, but glad you're out of here.
Yeah.
But when he did go, what was his win percentage?
Well, he went to 10.
I believe so.
I think he went to 10 Super Bowls. Pretty good.
Yeah.
He only lost two 70%. Super Bowls that he was in.
But here's the deal, Justin. I don't know how much you follow football, but I mean, if you play in the AFC and you go to a Super Bowl, I like your odds.
Yeah. Usually the AFC team wins. Now, that's no shot at the NFC, but...
But it is.
8 times out of 10, the AFC will win the Super Bowl. It's just tougher, and especially now. You know, I know we're getting on a little sports...
Whatever.
...kick beer, but... Like now, if you look at all the quarterbacks in the AFC, I mean, you got Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Pat Mahomes, and now Joey Dimes, or Joe Shiesty,
and don't forget
Lamar Jackson.
There you go.
All them guys are all in the AFC, and they're all good. Okay, so let's go over to the NFC. Aaron Rodgers.
Matt Stafford.
Well, yeah, now you got Matt Stafford. It used to be Tom Brady.
Well, I mean, you got Kyler Murray.
Yeah, I don't know if you watched the...
Well, I'm just saying that's... Oh, okay. Oh, Dak. Hey,
them
boys.
Don't even. Get out of here with that crap.
Anyways, we better get back talking hunting because...
Yeah.
Or fishing or...
Yeah, we just brought up the Cowboys.
Fish gigging.
Well, like I said, we've seen a whole bunch of gar. So we're thinking about trying to slide in there with some archery equipment and...
Doing some bow fishing.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Man, there was... I mean, hopefully they're still there. I don't know where they're going to go. I mean, they can't go.
Well, I mean, they could go anywhere. You never know.
Right.
It's a big old river.
Big old lake. River.
Ocean.
I had a question about that.
Yeah?
On the gar.
Yeah.
Was the water low?
Yeah, it don't seem normal.
I mean, that was my first time on it, so. There was, I tell you, Justin, how it went. There were some shallow spots and there were some deep spots.
Yeah.
But
because I was wondering, you said the gar was in pockets, you know, and sometimes the water gets low, they can't get back.
Oh, no, there
back
was.
Down or whatever.
No, there were some pockets. It was deep enough. Like they could go down and couldn't see them. So I'm guessing it was probably.
Well, he's talking like, is there ripples in between where they got hung?
Oh, like they're trapped in there.
Yeah. Now, if we would have been on a river, that might have made sense, but I don't know.
We're on the ocean, so we don't know.
No, there's a chance that that's probably what happened.
I don't know.
But it seemed like, I mean, we floated the boat, drove the boat through.
I mean, I don't want to give too much up here because I know Gage Mashburn's listening to this.
Well, you know, there's all kinds of them guys out there. They're just,
you know.
You know. That
old cork knockers. But anyways.
You got to be careful on face pages nowadays because.
Everybody's watching your spots, man.
You put just one little bush in the background or you got to be like them, like Cody Vanette, and you just got to.
Blur it out in the background.
Blur it all out in the background. Oh, yeah. That stuff aggravates me.
But I tell you what,
when you're
Hampton, I'm pretty sure where these fish were at, they could go wherever they want to go. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they had the whole ocean to go. I mean,
yeah, they could have went because it's been many moons, but I've went the other direction on that before, and I'm pretty sure they could go.
Oh yeah,
I don't think they were trapped in there. Per se.
Do like a salmon, just jump over it,
and those gar will.
They're wild.
Yeah,
Stick a gig in one.
Yeah, and hang
that's
on,
5 foot
sucker.
Long.
And you know what? It's crazy, and I know it's hard to believe, but they get heavier when you get them out of the water. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
It's almost like physics or something
that.
Right,
yeah. But, man, you get them back, you're like, I'm about to get him in a boat, and then you get him up out of the water, and you're like, well, I don't know if I got him anymore, you know? And then, of course, they're laying perfectly still. They're not thrashing around
no,
at all.
No.
But it was fun.
They don't have sharp teeth. You can just lip them.
You know, I wouldn't.
He's just
shaking his head. He's like, these idiots. But
just grab a hold of that snout.
Somebody at work was like, yeah, you got to be really careful, you know, because like when their head flops around, they'll cut your leg or whatever. And I said, oh, I don't know. I wasn't worried about that. And I'm like, what do you mean? I said, well, I just raking them off in the back of the boat and letting them guys deal with it. Yeah. I was on the front, buddy. I don't know.
Yeah, we just raked them off in there and said, look out, that one's flopping around.
Look out, Brittany.
They are wild.
Yeah. Yeah, they really are.
They're like a freshwater tarpon.
Yeah. But it was, man, it was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. And Josh, thank you, buddy. I mean, if you're listening, you better be.
Yeah. We're ready to do it again.
Get the cameras.
Now, when does season close on
the 15th?
That's what I thought.
Now, bow fishing's open year round.
Yeah.
But the gigging season closes the 15th.
I feel like the bow fishing part of it, I'd want to do that in the summertime.
I don't know. There's a lot of fish in there right now.
Yeah, but all right. So when you're reeling it in and you're splashing that water all over you.
Kind of cold.
You remember what my beanie looked like? My Ozark Traditions beanie I was wearing?
Yeah. Do you remember what I was wearing?
Man, those gloves you had on looked warm.
Yeah, I didn't. Okay, so we had Josh, once again, thanks, Josh, make us a bracket for our camera to hold the camera, like what Todd and Matt had.
Yeah.
It's aluminum.
It's light.
It's very light.
It's aluminum.
It's aluminum. It was cold outside. I didn't wear any gloves. My hands about froze off.
We got way down the river ocean.
A couple hours into this.
TJ's like, we got to stop for a second. I'm like, what for? I'm just getting tuned in good.
Yeah, I mean, a good sweat.
I'm only missing like every five fish.
Yeah.
And then I hit one, you know? Like, I'm tuned in.
I can't feel my hands
at all. Like, he's actually, like,
well, I tried to zoom the camera and I couldn't get my thumb to work to work the very zoom. And I'm like, man, I got to take a break. And then Matt looks back there. Brittany's got like these Polar Express gloves on and her hands are in her pocket. And he's like, Brittany, let him have them gloves. You're sticking your hands in your pocket. And it was almost like the Dumb and Dumber thing. Like,
yeah, we're in the Rockies.
You've had two pairs this whole time. I was like, that's how I felt. I was like, you've had them on the whole time and your hands has been in your pocket? She's like, yeah, my hands are getting kind of sweaty, clammy. I'm like, give me those. Then I lived through it.
Yeah. It was so much fun.
It was a good time. We had a good time. Brittany tried to gig. She did gig a couple. It's tough.
She gigged
the smallest gar.
Which is kind of impressive.
No, that's what I was getting at. Like, this thing, like, you had to be good. See, it's almost... In the fish world, if you gig a small fish, that's impressive.
Right.
I mean...
The big ones are easier.
Right. The big, slow, dumb ones, they're easy to hit. The little bitty things is tough. But it was a lot of fun. She had fun. You got to really put the stab on them. Them gar are pretty tough.
Now, Hampton, do you guys... I mean, I know you said you don't gig. But like, is there people down there around you that gig down there in the river and stuff? Ocean.
Yeah, my brother-in-law gigs, I don't know where he it's up the highway there somewhere. And he goes with a few older guys, and he's about the only one that I can think of right off the top of my head. It was kind of like you said, it's a dying deal.
It kind of is, and that's sad because it is so much fun. And I feel, it's like the bow fishing deal. It's gaining so much popularity. It's trendy. It's fun. And a lot of these younger guys are doing it. Guys, I'm here to tell you right now, if you haven't been fish gigging, you need to go do it.
Well, all the guys that are really into the bow fishing deal would absolutely love the gigging thing.
Yeah.
They're the same kind of people.
Right. They just don't know it.
Right.
I'm thinking, that's what I'm guessing.
I just like to get some invites in the mail to go.
Justin?
Come on.
You're invited, buddy. Here's the deal. Now listen to me. And I'm going to be like this, just like my wife is. If I invite you to something, and the first time you don't come, that's fine. The second time you don't come, I'm not inviting you anymore.
You off the invite list.
My wife has a strict policy.
You got to give me a two-week notice.
Here comes the stipulations. I knew they was coming. Let me guess. It can't be too cold.
Got to have a three-week notice.
Right.
Two-week notice. Okay.
All right. Well, hey.
It's got to be perfect. Got to kill fish. Got to catch fish. Whatever we're doing.
It's got to be a guaranteed deal or I won't even step on the boat.
That's what I figured.
That's what I had to figure.
Well, here's the deal. If you go with Josh Sloan Guide Service on the old Fish Killing Express, she's guaranteed.
You're guaranteed to see fish. Now, whether you can gig them or not, that's on you.
That's on you 100%.
Guaranteed to see them. That's all I care about if I see them.
No, you'll see them. Now, whether you hit them or not, that's like I said.
I'm pretty sure, and now if you're listening to this, I meant to say something to you, Josh. I'm pretty sure I bent one of his gigs. I'm pretty sure that one that he made out of the chisels, which he's like, hey, that's my spare. Like, I don't use it. Well, he was gigging and I was filming and then our battery went dead. So I was like, hey, I'm going to go back to gigging, you know? And I think I might have actually missed a fish. I find that hard to believe, I know. But I pulled it back out of the water and I hadn't really looked at it before I started gigging with it. But one of the
prongs
on it was bent real bad. And I'm like, I don't know if that was already bent or if I just bent that. Dang it. But I don't know.
Does he use the handmade gig,
now wait a minute.
Does he buy them?
Well,
he made this one out of
chisels,
like wood chisels.
No, like steel chisels, like you go up to the hardware store and buy.
Yeah.
Because I looked at it, and I'm like, what in the world? I was like, are those chisels? And he laughed, and he said, yeah. He's like, well, that's just one I kind of
okay
whittled out as a spare. He's got the one we were using is a nice gig.
Yeah, it's a somebody made
the reason,
it.
The reason why I asked is because there's a guy, and I can't think of his name off the top of my head, where I live, kind of around the Mountain View, Birch Creek area, makes gigs. That's kind of what I was wondering.
Yeah.
There's multiple. There's a lot of guys around here that
I'm going to be honest. I was looking at them, and I thought, well, it looks like any monkey could build one of these.
Yeah, if you've got, like, AutoCAD and a plasma cutter.
Well, I mean, I don't have AutoCAD, but I've got a plasma cutter.
You can build them.
Just saying.
Got hey, a piece of plasma cutter and grinder, you can do wonders.
Right. Well, that's how them guys make. A lot of the ones that I've seen have been cut out.
I'm just saying, I've got plate steel at the shop.
Hey.
I've got a plasma cutter.
The hardest now, part is not the gig head. It's finding the handle.
Well.
Yeah, that's where I was going next.
I may have an in on that, so I'll just leave it at that.
What, like the fiberglass ones?
Uh-huh.
That's what you want. I've got two gig heads, really good ones.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't have any handles.
We should get together on this.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, the stars are lining up.
I mean, it's a good thing we're like neighbors and stuff, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Works out. Well, like I said, Chiefs didn't make the Super Bowl. My life sucks.
Gigging's cool.
Gigging's cool. We're going to try to do the bow fishing deal.
But I'm telling you, all you bow fishing, flat bill cap wearing.
Cool dudes.
Florida, bros. Florida, Georgia line listening to cats that are listening to this right now.
Hey, bro.
If you, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
We're not making fun of you.
Right.
Well, we are, but.
But we're just saying.
But we're old.
You guys got to try this because I think you'd love it.
Oh, I know they would.
Because it's a lot of fun. And it's all about the just getting out there.
And the cool thing about it is it's not something you got to put a whole lot of money into to do.
No, you've already got a duck boat, man.
If you've got a John boat, flat bottom John boat, and you can find you a trolling motor, they sell them at Walmart for $150 and a battery. Get you some LED lights. Now everything's LED nowadays.
Yeah,
I think you can run it off a battery, no generator anymore.
And I think Josh said he got them lights for like a $60
Amazon.
For a four pack of them.
Yeah, go to Amazon, wherever.
They're LEDs. He said he can run them like almost two nights on a charge or something.
I mean, I think you could get into a gigging boat for less than $500 if you've got a boat.
Yeah.
And I'm talking buying the motor, a trolling motor, the batteries, the lights, the gigs, whatever you got to have.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Man. Some of them gigging heads are probably pretty expensive.
Well, how crazy do you want to get?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
Now, you could also get into a gigging boat for about 10 grand if you want.
And if you've got one of them, invite us. We'd love to ride on it.
Hey, the guys staying water bow fishing, have you seen their rig?
And say, I've seen they some gigging boats of upwards of 30.
Oh, yeah. That one that old boy's got is like they gig three people off the front of it.
That's pretty cool.
It's a jet, too. So you can run her in inches of water.
Oh, I thought you say you could fly it to places.
Oh, yeah, maybe that, too. I don't know. I'm sure they got a jet. But all right, guys. Well, I think we're going to wrap her up. Next, we're going to have we'll have some more guests on here. We're going to keep you guys some suspense, though. We don't want to spill the beans.
Next week, guys, is going to be a good one.
They're all good ones.
Well, this one's really going to be good because this guy is like the broadhead guru. He can tell you everything there is about every broadhead.
The broadhead guru, Fred Bear.
So if you're thinking about shooting a certain broadhead this year, you might want to listen to him because he's got.
You're going to want to listen anyways. I mean, who don't want to listen to me and Matt and Justin ramble on for an hour?
That's what I'm saying.
About the coolest stuff.
It's the best.
In the Ozark.
That's right.
But, all right, guys, we're going to wrap her up, and we'll talk to you guys next week. We'll see what we can come up with to chat about. It's always a good time. Oh, once again, I want to thank Ryan for coming on, talking about the Deerhorn deal. That's a really cool
thing. Ryan Melton, yep.
Yep. So, guys, again, go check him out, Ozark Mountain Shed Dogs on Facebook. It's a cool deal. Got any questions, message us. We can try to get with him or message him himself. So But from all of us here at Ozark Traditions, thank you guys, and we'll talk to you next week.
The Ozark Traditions TV podcast crew would appreciate it if you leave a 5-star rating and subscribe on your favorite podcast apps so you don't miss an episode. And also, be sure to check out our hunting episodes on our YouTube channel, and don't forget to subscribe. While you're on the web, head on over to our Facebook page and click on the follow and like button to see what the Ozark Traditions TV crew is up to. Ozark Traditions TV would like to thank you for joining in to this week's podcast. Be sure to tune in on our next weekly podcast as we bring the outdoors inside. From all of us at Ozark Traditions TV, we thank you for listening. And remember, if you see us out in God's country, stop us. We'd like to meet you.